Hello, hello, and welcome to a somewhat special episode of Power Up and Game. This is episode 35, and I am Michael, your host, and I am joined once again by the one and only Taylor. Taylor, how's it going, buddy?
Dude, I am beyond excited for this episode. We are coming up pretty close to our end of the year break, and it just creeped up on me, man. We only have two episodes left. And I'm beyond excited to talk about our topic today because it's going to be a fun one.
Oh, well, speaking of which, we only have one topic today. And that's because we are giving our predictions for the Game Awards 2022. So, Taylor, without further ado, how about you go and take it away? Because I think this is one episode where we're going to say we'll make it short. But we know we're not because this is actually a pretty big deal.
Not only is it a big deal, there's a lot of categories. So we'll go ahead and just hop into our only story today, which is some Game Awards 2022 predictions. So here's how this thing is going to work, Michael. I'm going to go through a ton of categories and nominees for the Game Awards 2022, and we're just going to share our predictions on what nominee you think will win and why you think they'll win. However, we aren't predicting every award. We are going to stay away from all esports categories except for esport game of the year. We're doing that just because we aren't as knowledgeable on the esport scene as we are with other categories. And it would literally just be us randomly picking names. So it just felt like a waste of time for us personally who aren't, again, knowledgeable on that. I'm going to keep track of our predictions, and next week, when we do our Game Awards recap episode, we'll bring this back up. Oh, and by the way, our episode next week is going to be a day or two late, just because we're recording it later than usual. The Game Awards is on a Thursday, and we'll be recording on Friday, so it might be a Friday or Saturday when that episode goes out. Who knows? But anyways, we'll bring the predictions back up next week. The person who ended up having the most correct predictions will receive a free win in Clash at the Stash. In January, we at TNS Network are bringing back Clash at the Stash with a ton of guests from the Nerd Stash and from other amazing content creators out there. Michael, I've kind of talked with you off air about the amount of guests that I have lined up and for GAT recording sessions planned. Yeah, it's pretty ambitious for a first season. I might have overextended ourselves here. So getting this free win, though, will be pretty huge because it's going to give one of us a leg up on the competition. I've also asked Tristan Benz and Drew Garrison of Nerds Talk Movies to submit their own predictions as well. They may end up getting that win instead of us here, Michael. So we gotta have some solid predictions here. Michael, are you ready to go, though?
Actually, I think when it comes to the Game Awards, I think we might have to record the day of, but we'll deal with that when that comes along. But without further ado, I think it is time for us to come up with some of our wildest predictions, because I'm actually interested in what you got, because before we started recording, we brought up one of the games that caught us both off guards, and we couldn't figure out how anybody would nominate it. But yeah, I'm interested in seeing what you got going.
I 100% agree. So let's go ahead and start with the most anticipated game of the year. Recognizing an announced game that has demonstrably illustrated potential to push the gaming medium forward. As for nominees, we have what I believe this is Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Michael, gonna go ahead and reveal something to you. This is the first time I'm looking at this list here. I haven't seen any nominee across all these categories except for two, that being Game of the Year and Content Creator of the Year. So I'm pretty much going in blind here. So I'm going to go ahead and start off with what do you think is going to be the most anticipated game out of this list?
I think it's going to be the easiest one. It's going to be Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Resident Evil 4 is going to be great. I don't think anybody is that excited for Hogwarts anymore. And yeah, another Final Fantasy game. Woo! Starfield, since this is Xbox exclusive now, with Xbox and PC, I don't think a whole lot of people are going to be jumping up and down for that game. But The Legend of Zelda has a huge fan base. That's like, and I would say 90% of Nintendo's, which is player base, is probably waiting for Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. So yeah, I think it's gonna be Tears of the Kingdom. I think that's probably the easiest category we have for now.
Yeah, there's a lot of great games in this category. Resident Evil 4, very excited for. Just Hogwarts Legacy, I think people are very excited for that too.
No, they're excited, but I don't, with all the delays, I don't think it's mm-hmm. really like the most anticipated thing anymore.
And not only that, I think Starfield, especially for Xbox players who are like, oh, we're finally getting something that's an exclusive. But yeah, man, you're right. It's Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. It's a Legend of Zelda game. It's the sequel to one of the best Zelda games ever made, and arguably one of the best games ever made, depending on who you ask. So yeah, man, I think this is going to be Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom for the win here. As for our next category, Best Esports Game. For the game that has delivered the best overall esports experience to players, inclusive of tournaments, community support, and content updates, irrespective of genre or platform, we have Counter-Strike Global Offensive, Dota 2, League of Legends, Rocket League, or Valorant. I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to make my prediction first here. I think it's going to be Valorant.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dark Horse-wise, I'm a big fan of Rocket League. I would love to see Rocket League win this, but I don't think it has a snowball's chance in hell.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be Valorant, because that's the new hotness right now. I've never heard anybody talk about Dota 2 in a long while. Rocket League went free-to-play, and I know people complained about that. Counter-Strike, how the hell is Counter-Strike still getting nominated? Like, my goodness.
Counter-Strike is still very popular.
That's what I want. Like, damn, those are some legs for you, man. Like, Counter-Strike is still the esports game. Whew. Overwatch isn't up there, which I'm slightly surprised with. But yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be Valorant.
You don't think League of Legends has a chance?
I think, if there's anything, it's going to be Valorant, League of Legends, Counter-Strike, Rocket League, then Dota 2. If we had to, like, the most likely to the least likeliest. But yeah, I think if Valorant doesn't win, yeah, League of Legends can take it. But yeah, I think it's going to be Valorant.
Moving on to Best Adaptation. Recognizing outstanding creative work that faithfully and authentically adapts a video game to another entertainment medium. We have Arcane, League of Legends, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, The Cuphead Show, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Uncharted. Michael, I can guarantee, this is me throwing out a hot take here, that I hope I'm not wrong on. I can guarantee Uncharted's not winning this.
Oh, God, no. No, I don't even know why it's even... That felt like a token kind of thing, like, oh, we need to fill the slot.
And this is coming from somebody who likes Uncharted, the movie. I actually quite enjoyed that movie, and it really doesn't have a chance.
Notice Halo didn't make it up here.
Very true. But this is kind of, it's pretty close in competition here. Like, this is there's a lot of really good adaptations people love the past year. Edgerunners saved Cyberpunk in a way. It was a big driving force for why that resurgence happened.
Yeah, honestly, I've only seen Sonic the Hedgehog 2. I haven't seen mm-hmm. any of these other ones. I haven't seen others because I don't have Netflix, so I can't watch Cuphead Show, Cyberpunk, or Arcane.
And Arcane also was applauded, like, oh, saying it was one loved. Of the best shows of the past year. Like, not best animated show. Some people were saying, like, no, it was one of the best overall shows of the past 365 days.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, when it comes to this, I really think Arcane is going to take it. Although people really, but Cyberpunk is newer, and people are just tripping all over themselves over how great Cyberpunk Edgerunners is. Like, they want a season 2. Even though they're not getting it because Studio Trigger only planned for one season, so unfortunately, Cuphead Show is not gonna get it. Uncharted is definitely not gonna get it. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 has a chance, but yeah, I think it's between Arcane and Cyberpunk. But since I haven't seen either one of them, I think the League of Legends fans are gonna come out in full force, and I think Arcane is gonna win it.
But yeah, I'm gonna go Arcane with you, and I am going to really hope that wins instead of Sonic the Hedgehog 2, because that's what I was going to go with before you said Arcane. Let's go ahead and move on to our next category, which is Best Debut Indie. For the best debut game created by a new independent studio, Neon White by Angel Matrix / Annapurna Interactive, Norco, Geography of Robots / Raw Fury, Stray from Blue 12 Studio / Annapurna, Tunic from Tunic Team / Finji, and Vampire Survivors by Pongle. I think this is going to be Stray.
I think so?
This is where Stray wins it. Stray is in another category that we're going to talk about later. And I don't think it has a chance at all to win that category. I think it will win here. I'm going Stray.
Yeah. I can agree with that. But because I really enjoyed the game to a fault, I think Tunic is going to win. You might be right. It might be Stray. But I'll put out hope and think that people would love the whole retro Legend of Zelda kind of deal. I want Tunic to win. Vampire Survivors, I just couldn't get into. Oh, my goodness. I really wanted to. I played it for a few hours, but I just couldn't get into it like everybody else. Everybody loves Vampire Survivors. So I think it actually has a pretty good chance. And I never played Narco. I never played Neo White. So I have a lot of people on, I follow and get followed by people who love video games, and absolutely nobody has talked about Neon White. I haven't even seen it trend, but I've seen Vampire Survivors, Tunic, Stray, Narco, I forgot even existed. So I'm not even going to talk about that one. So I think it's going to be Tunic. I'm just going to take a wild shot in the dark. Go with Tunic.
This is going to be the first time that you and I disagree on a pick.
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes here. This might be what loses you this competition. Yeah,
probably. And I'm only doing it because I kind of want something slightly different to win. And yeah, I know Stray is like people call it Cat Simulator, but because I haven't really been into it, I don't really see it winning indie debut because, again, everybody loves that old school Zelda kind of thing, and I think Tunic did it very well. I don't know. Tunic. I hope it's Tunic. I hope it's Tunic.
Moving on to Content Creator of the Year for a streamer or content creator who made an important and positive impact on the community in 2022. Carl Jacobs, Ludwig, Nibelian, Nobru, and QT Cinderella. I'm going to go ahead and make my pick here. I think it's going to be Nibel. Nibel, who in the past few months, I believe, he left Twitter due to not only just all the stuff going on with Twitter, but also, I believe, something with his Patreon not really working out the way he intended it to. So it's just very unfortunate for what I thought was a fantastic content creator to be leaving the platform. What do you have to say, Michael? Who do you think is going to win Content Creator of the Year?
I agree with you. That person was all over Twitter. And I was surprised by people actually jumping on board to that. And I was like, wow, I don't know who this person is, but man, everybody really trusts this person and anything that they tweet out. Which, there's another person who also does the same thing on Twitter that I followed, and they both do a great job of just having information at the ready. I don't know how they do it, but they've always had these informations, like not just straight up rumors, it's like five minutes to an hour ahead before official announcements, like, hey, this is going to happen. This is a sale. This is what's going to be shown off at this event, and it would happen. Just like, who do you know? Like, are you a developer yourself? Like, who do you know within the business that you get all this information ahead of time? But yeah, people are really sad when Neeb, ended up leaving because they couldn't find a way to financially stable with stuff that they were making. But I hope it is, only because I don't know who these other people are. But I know Neeb, so hopefully Neeb wins.
Moving on to our next category, though. Best Multiplayer for Outstanding Online Multiplayer Gameplay and Design, including co-op and massively multiplayer experiences, irrespective of game genre or platform. I am. Oh man, there are two games here that I think it's going to be very close. You're looking at the same two I am, aren't you?
We'll see. Call of Duty
Modern Warfare 2, Multiversus, Overwatch, Splatoon 3, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. I think this is between Modern Warfare 2 and Multiversus, and I want to hear what you think it's going to be first.
Really? Wow. I was going to say Call of Duty and Overwatch 2.
I don't think Overwatch 2 has a chance. I really don't. I think there's too much, I guess backlash against Overwatch 2 right now.
Yeah, the SMS deal was a mess. Yeah.
The nature of Overwatch 1 to Overwatch 2, a lot of people feeling like, understandably so, it's not really a sequel.
I played Overwatch a lot. I played Overwatch 2 a bit. And you know what? It feels less rewarding to me, to be honest, as someone who liked Overwatch 1, who really liked it. Overwatch 2 is less rewarding, and it feels more punishing because now that's free to play, and you got people who just come in and play it. You know, it's whatever. It's a casual thing for me. I don't really care. But I've noticed I have a lot of really terrible healers lately, and like they're really, really bad. And I was like, geez, I don't want to play healer, but I got to go play healer because we're getting stomped out. Yeah, Overwatch 2 has some really bad balancing issues. I don't even think they use skill-based matchmaking in Overwatch 2. So that might be a problem. I really want to say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because I really love that game.
Yeah, oh my really goodness. Good. Oh, it felt really short though at the same time. I understood it.
Yeah, I think that was a good thing because it felt like the arcade, and I think that's what I wanted. I didn't want a super long game. I wanted something that felt like it played like it did in the arcades, and it took me way back to my childhood when me and my brothers would play TMNT at the laundromat or something, or like
it had all the right bits of nostalgia.
Yeah, no, and it was great. Multiplayer could use some work. It was great that I was able to get on the same game with my two younger brothers and with a couple of their kids. I got to play with my nieces and nephews in that game. It was an absolute blast. So while I would love to say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles just because I personally love it and I would vote for it, I think at the end it's going to be Modern Warfare 2.
I definitely agree. I think it's going to be Modern Warfare 2. I think it's going to be close. To me, I think it's Multiverses or Modern Warfare 2 because of how much people seem to really love Multiverses and just how popular that's continued to be.
I think Multiverses is great on like Twitter, or like on social media. But I don't really know if people are that hyped for Multiverses.
Moving on to best sports/racing. Well, actually, hold on. I do want to circle back here and go to multiplayer because we were talking about why we think it will win. The reason I'm picking Modern Warfare 2, though, is because although I've had my issues with the multiplayer since launch, it is still one hell of an accomplishment for a franchise to do what it did. In my opinion, I think the Modern Warfare reboot franchise here has kind of innovated in a lot of great ways, to whereas the other Call of Duty franchises are still kind of struggling to do. Yeah. And hopefully with there not being a mainline game in 2023, Treyarch or Sledgehammer or whoever makes the next one can pull off the same thing Infinity Ward did with Modern Warfare 2019 and what they ended up doing with the sequel here this year. So I'm looking at Modern Warfare 2 as in the DMZ, what it's done, Warzone, what it's doing, and also just the multiplayer being pretty, even with its faults, a pretty fun experience all the way around, except for, you know, terrible fucking maps and spawn placement, which, surprise, was a problem of Modern Warfare 2019. But moving on to our next category, which is best sports/racing game. For the best traditional and non-traditional sports and racing game, we have F1 2022, FIFA 23, NBA 2K23, Gran Turismo 7, and Ollie Ollie World. I don't...
Hey, I was getting this list like, what is...
The state of sports games are in a bad place, Michael. That's all I gotta say. I'm gonna go Gran Turismo 7 just because I don't know anything about Olly Olly World, and all the other games just frustrate me, I guess, especially NBA
2K23. Oh, so. Oh man, the complaints I heard about 2K23 in his virtual currency is debacle. Yeah,
and people, those complaints are very valid.
Yeah, people really dislike how bad NBA 2K23 is pushing VC, and I don't blame them. It was terrible. But yeah, I know people really enjoyed how FIFA 23 was playing, so I think FIFA 23 might be the upset win here.
Michael's going with the last FIFA game of all time.
Yeah. Winning. Yeah, I think FIFA 23 might pull the upset. Although I will not be surprised if Gran Turismo 7 wins it.
Yeah, for one, also, what is it being called after this? Like EA Sports something?
FC Football Club.
Okay, instead of FIFA.
I think that might still be a placeholder, but right now it's known as FC or Football mm-hmm. Club. So, yeah, I don't know if that's going to be just a placeholder or if that's what they're really going to go with, but so far that's what they have.
God, I hope NBA 2K23 doesn't win. Moving on to best sim/strategy. Best game focused on real-time or turn-based simulation or strategy gameplay, irrespective of platform. Dune, Spice Wars, Mario & Rabbids, Sparks of Hope, Total War, Warhammer 3, Two Point Campus, and Victoria 3. I'm going to go Dune, Spice Wars.
Really?
Yep. I'm going to go Dune, Spice Wars. Shout out to our former co-host, Riley. I'm making this pick for her because I remember her playing that game and saying it was really good. So, I'm going to go Dune, Spice Wars. And that's my only reasoning because I have no idea about the rest of these games.
Okay, cool. I think it's going to be between Mario Rabbids and Total War. Because the Total War franchise is huge. But I'm going to go with the more casual one right here. And I'm going to go with another surprise upset. Mario and Rabbids Spark of Hope. I think that might pull the upset win right here.
Cool, cool. Let's go ahead and move on to best family game. For the best game appropriate for family play, irrespective of genre or platform, we have Kirby and the Forgotten Land. The Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope, Nintendo Switch Sports, and Splatoon 3. As a Star Wars fan, I really want to go Skywalker Saga. And I'm really looking at this group of games that all seem spectacular. And I still think the Skywalker Saga might win because everybody did really seem to like that game. So, I guess that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Skywalker Saga for this.
You, me too. That's what I was thinking. Lego Star Wars. Lego is still very popular. Star Wars is very popular. People are super hyped about having this massive collection of Lego Star Wars game into one whole package. And while Kirby, I think, has a chance, I think Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga, is just far too recognizable. And I think more people are going to want to go with that for a family, because that's definitely a game that you can play with your kiddos, with your parents, or with your brothers and sisters. You know, I think Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga is going to easily wipe the competition on the floor.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I don't know.
I don't know what else to say. It just makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it really does, and that's with what I think. And now, granted, I haven't played many of these games. I'm just looking at the perception around all these games' releases. It seems that
It'll be way too hard for us to play every last game mm-hmm. this year.
But it seems that all these games were really good, so that was a really tough category. Now, best fighting game is a totally different situation because I think this is a clear-cut winner. Best fighting game for the best game designed primarily for head-to-head combat. DNF Duel. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battler. The King of Fighters... Was that 15? I'm bad with Roman numerals.
It's 15.
Okay. Multiverses and Sifu. I'm going to go Multiverses here. I think this is a clear-cut winner. If Multiverses were to easily win anything, I think it's this one. Granted, Sifu got a lot of love when it came out, but it seemed to really die out as soon as the next big release happened, which I believe was Elden Ring.
Yeah, yeah. And just real quick, as JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R. I don't know what it's with. These random ones I just like to put in there. Yeah, I know. Like Dragon Ball FighterZ. It's not FighterZ, it's FighterZ. I don't know. These things always... Ollie title, but it is a JoJo's game, so it fits that it's Ollie title. But I'm actually going to go with Sifu. I think Sifu has some strong legs. I think people were just waiting to just shower with praise. Yeah, Multiverses is the new. And, you know, King of Fighters is popular, but I don't think it's that popular. So, yeah, I'm going with Sifu. People really enjoyed the difficulty with and the challenges with Sifu. And I think a lot of people are going to come in and vote for that because they want more games like Sifu.
Best role-playing for the best game designed with rich player character customization and progression, including massively multiplayer experiences. We have Elden Ring, Live a Live, Pokemon Legends Arceus, Triangle Strategy, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Michael, I want you to go first because I might base my pick based on yours.
I'll go with another upset. Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Nintendo fans really love that game. Oh my goodness. They were super upset that it wasn't in every category that they wanted to be in. Pokemon Legends. Look, that game was quickly forgotten. A lot of people are moving on, you know, especially with Scarlet out right now. I didn't even hear anybody talk about Triangle Strategy, so I don't even know about that one. Live a Live, whatever the hell that's called. Square Enix is not really on the best roll with their RPGs at this moment. Elden Ring, yes, a lot of people hyped it up. They're ready for it. But I'm gonna say Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
So at the Game Awards, there's always a game or two that take home a lot of awards. And I'm kind of thinking Elden Ring might be that game this year.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
For this category, it has me really just keep doing that double take at what exactly best role-playing game is defined as. Even so, I can't help but just... I gotta go with Elden Ring. I do. I'm gonna go ahead, every time I see Elden Ring on a nominee list, I'm going to be hard-pressed to pick anything else. Just because of, I think it is, even with God of War Ragnarok there, and this is kind of spoiling to whenever we get to Game of the Year, I would be shocked if it did not win home, or win that Game of the Year award. So I think it's also going to win a ton of awards alongside it. So I'm going to go with Elden Ring here.
No, that's a smart pick, because Elden Ring definitely has that fan base behind it. So I could definitely see Elden Ring winning every category it's in. Like that would be pretty much a no-brainer. But yeah, like I said, I'm just going with the upsets here, because I do expect Elden Ring to win Best RPG. But as a surprise, I wouldn't be surprised if Xenoblade Chronicles 3 won. So yeah, though, I think Xenoblade and Elden Ring are both good picks. I think they both have the best chance of winning their categories.
Next up, we have Best Action Adventure Game. For the Best Action Adventure Game, simply put, combining combat with traversal and puzzle solving, A Plague Tale: Requiem, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Tunic. Michael, Tunic got on here.
Tunic, yay!
Surprise.
With this bullshit puzzle solving.
That's that was the one thing you and Riley really didn't like about the game. Man, this one's real tough because it's...
No, yeah, this might be the hardest category.
God of War Ragnarok may win this one, especially if it doesn't win Game of the Year. I could see it winning this one. A Plague Tale: Requiem is a real dark horse here. I don't think Horizon Forbidden West is going to win it just because I don't think people love that game as much as the first one. But I think it's between Plague Tale, Requiem, and God of War Ragnarok. What say you?
I think it's between Stray and God of War Ragnarok, yeah. But I think God of War is going to walk away with it. And not because I have anything against Stray. I thought Stray was a cool-looking game. I didn't get a chance to play it, but it's such a cool-looking game. But I think everybody's kind of against the whole cat simulator thing that they're not really going to vote for it. And God of War fans are hyped. I haven't played God of War Ragnarok yet because I'm still iffy on spending $70 on a game. But Horizon Forbidden West was pretty good. Man. Yeah, unfortunately, I think with God of War being out, that it's going to overshadow Horizon. So I'm going to go with God of War Ragnarok.
Same. I'm going God of War Ragnarok as well. I think it's going to win some awards too, just alongside Elden Ring. Dude, I'm fighting in my brain right now with that last pick we're going to be doing, which is Game of the Year, because I do know that category. What's there? And God of spoilers, God of War Ragnarok and Elden Ring are sitting right there. And it's going to be tough. But I think God of War does take home Best Action Adventure Game. As for Best Action Game, for the best game in the action genre, focused primarily on combat, we have Bayonetta 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Neon White, Sifu, and TMNT Shredder's Revenge. So Shredder's Revenge got on here again. That's nice to see. Ooh. I'm going to go Modern Warfare 2 here again. I don't think it's going to win both Best Multiplayer Game and Best Action Game, but I think it'll win one. So this is a strategy pick for me. I'm picking Modern Warfare to win one of those categories.
Yeah, for me, I want TMNT to win again. I know. I really want TMNT to win. But I think it's between Call of Duty and Sifu. Bayonetta 3, because of the whole controversy, I don't think a whole lot of people care. Even though the people who did play it absolutely adored it. And again, I haven't played it yet, even though I do absolutely love the Bayonetta franchise. But for some reason, I wasn't too hyped for Bayonetta 3. So for best action game, I think Call of Duty is going to take this one. But I really want Ninja Turtles to win.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Shredder's Revenge, I think it does deserve a win somewhere here because I had just... For real, it
deserves all the wins.
I wouldn't say all the wins, but...
I will, and I do, and I did.
It hits nostalgia. All the wins
for being so awesome.
When I talk about, like, oh, it hits the nostalgia perfectly, it doesn't seem to do it overly to where, like, okay, so this is exactly like the 90s game that I played as a kid.
Yeah, it has its own identity.
Yeah, but it's still, like, it runs smooth, it plays well, the multiplayer, to me, was really good. I love the moves with all the characters. Like you said, like, it feels like it was heavily inspired, and it built off what the old arcade games used to do, but it still felt like it wanted to do a few things of its own. So that's why I really enjoyed it so much. It didn't just solely focus on nostalgia, which I feel like would have been a mistake. But again, I just cannot see Modern Warfare 2 not taking home either best action game or best multiplayer game. I think it's winning one, so that's why I'm picking Modern Warfare 2 for both of those awards here, even though I don't think I'll win both. Moving on to best VR/AR. Oh, I automatically know what's winning this one after looking at this. For the best game experience playable in virtual or augmented reality, irrespective of platform. After the Fall, Among Us VR, Bone Lab, Moss Book 2, and Red Matter 2. I'm going with Among Us VR. Nothing else to say. It's Among Us VR for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. People still love Among Us. It's going to be Among Us VR. I'm not going to be, I'm not going to lie, I forgot Moss Book 2 even happened. Don't know what Red Matter 2 is. Don't even know Bone Lab. So, yeah, I think, out of everything, Among Us VR is kind of like the easiest pick.
Moving on to innovation and accessibility. Recognizing software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. We have As Dusk Falls, God of War Ragnarok, Return to Monkey Island, The Last of Us Part 1, and The Quarry.
It's going to be The Last of Us Part 1.
You think it's gonna be Last of Us Part One?
Why
do you
say? Yeah, Last of Us Part One. Because Naughty Dog just completely knocked out the park with their wide variety of accessibility options, and I don't think anybody has come close to what Naughty Dog has pulled off with their accessibility options. And even though God of War and As Dusk Falls, I think, does a good job, The Last of Us, they really built up on making sure that anybody and everybody can play The Last of Us. I'm actually kind of surprised that Return to Monkey Island is on here and not like Grounded, which allows you to slide a spider to be like just a couple of poly balls or whatever because of arachnophobia. which I thought was kind of a cool idea. That's a very funny. You're xenophobic. Sorry. No, we came out wrong. You xenophobic against spiders. No, arachnophobia. But yeah, I think Last of Us Part One is easily going to take this category.
Just confusing those two terms, and I'm thinking about it in like the wider world, like politics and people online. It's like, oh, that person's xenophobic. Oh, so they're sick of spiders, eh?
How racist.
I think it's going to be The Last of Us Part 1. I, unfortunately, though, I don't know about any of the accessibility settings except for The Last of Us Part 1 and God of War Ragnarok. So I apologize there. I'm usually looking into those kind of things before we start, but I'm going to be completely honest with you. I forgot about this category, so I did not research it.
I mean, it's still newish. I think they've done it for like the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Because everybody's really pushing.
Well, every time we've been doing this, I do look up like, okay, what did all these games do? Because we don't get the chance to play every single game. So it's also cool to just learn like, hey, here's all the accessibility settings that developers have added to their game. So unfortunately, I have not been able to look into all these games and what their accessibility settings are. Again, I only know about Ragnarok and Last of Us, and I'm just going to go Last of Us because I'm trying to stick with Michael here on some picks. I got to pick my battles where I can. All right.
Hey.
As for our next category, though, Best Community Support. Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and No Man's Sky. What you going with, Michael?
Okay, so for me, it's between Fortnite and No Man's Sky, but I'm going to go ahead with No Man's Sky because they are still releasing big updates, like just game-changing updates for that game, even though they don't have to. Like, they could have been done a year or two ago. But for some strange reason, Hello Games just really wants to stick with this world. You see, they didn't have to do No Man's Sky 2 to pretend that they're making bigger things. They just keep adding on to it. That's what a live service game should look like. But Fortnite, as much as people like to make fun of it, Fortnite does keep things interesting. They keep adding in cool skins, cool crossovers, cool events, new modes. My nephew, I watched him play it. They play everything but Fortnite now. Like, in Fortnite, they play all these other things where you can do challenges and build your own levels and make your own rules. Like, they don't even play regular Fortnite anymore. So it's like, oh, okay, so Fortnite has gotten to the point to where it's more than what it launched as a few years ago.
Well, it already was, Michael. It was a fucking base. It was a tower builder or tower defender game from zombies when it came out. I was sitting there like, I believe it was $40. I'll give $40 to Epic here. I feel like they deserve it. This is a small passion project for them. And then they come out with a BR mode. I'll play their BR mode. PUBG is not out for Xbox yet. Whatever, I'll try it out.
Yeah.
And then a year or two later, it's the biggest game in the fucking world. And so I guess this is the second time people aren't playing the game the way it was intended for.
Yeah, and it's gotten crazy. And I do think that Fortnite could win this because, again, it does this community right. It does some great supports. But I am going with No Man's Sky, as I think they do live service and the community just fine. I think they do it the best out of anybody in this industry right now. So I'm going with No Man's Sky.
But I'm going No Man's Sky. I've talked about my love of No Man's Sky several times on this podcast before. I love how much Hello Games just. There's something to be said about taking all that criticism and pretty much going radio silent and going, we're gonna fix this shit. And then over the years, not only fix the shit that was broken and what you promised to put in the game and putting that in the game, but going steps farther and making this, I would argue, and this is going to be a hot take, but I believe it to be true. I think it's one of the best games out there currently. Like one of the best overall games out there currently. I think it's No Man's Sky is up there for how much you could do.
Yeah, I think it's probably because they've been dropping free updates. Like at this point, they could charge, like, hey, we're doing this big expansion
Hey,
like
Michael,
for
you know,
20
don't
bucks.
speak that into existence. I trust
No,
Hello Games. Don't
I
get me
mean,
wrong.
that's what I'm saying. Like, they could have easily done these $10, $20 season passes or whatever, but like, this is gonna be this huge update. But they're just like, no, here you go. We more than made up for our messing up the launch, but we're gonna keep updating this because it's our community. We care. It's like, oh shit. Who are you? Are you a business? Like, how do you make money? What are you doing? It's like, no, we're just gonna do this until our next project is done. And I respect the hell out of that.
Moving on to best mobile game. For the best game playable on a mobile device, Apex Legends Mobile. All right, is this next one, is it really going to be on this list for real? Because I know how much hate this game got. Diablo Immortal,
Yeah.
Genshin Impact, Marvel Snap, and Tower of Fantasy. Why is Diablo Immortal on here? Dude, I don't
That's a
even
mo.
know anything about the mobile game scene. And I saw nothing but just absolute disdain for this game ever since it was announced. I don't even remember when it was announced. It just feels like a stream of hate
Oh,
for
because
that game.
it was announced at BlizzCon a few years ago, and people instantly disliked that Diablo was coming to mobile gaming. Yeah.
What's your pick for best mobile game?
So I've actually played all of these except for Diablo Immortal. Dude, to be honest, I think Genshin Impact is going to take it again. I mean, it's going to take it this time or this year. Marvel Snap was okay. It's not bad. Tower of Fantasy, I played, got over pretty fast. I don't know. It was just kind of, yeah. But Genshin Impact is still huge. It still has a big fan base. Out of everything here, Genshin Impact's the only one that has a fan-made convention that I know of. And I think people still love the updates that he get. They still love the gacha system for some reason. They're still dropping new characters. So I think Genshin Impact is going to win Best Mobile Game.
I'm gonna go Apex Legends Mobile. I really thought while you were talking all that stuff about Genshin Impact, I was like, I'm gonna put Diablo Immortal just to be a troll. But I can't do it. I
It'd
think
be
Apex
funny if people just
Legends
voted for Diablo Immortal just to just be like, I
to
don't want
do
Genshin
it.
Impact to win, so Diablo Immortal.
I'm gonna go Apex Legends though. I think this is another one of those instances where I need to deviate from what you pick. Moving on to best indie game. Fuck, this is gonna be a hard category.
Is it?
I think it is. I think there are at least four great games here, and I don't really know about the fifth. For best outstanding creative and technical achievement in a game made outside the traditional publisher system, Cult of the Lamb, Neon White, Sifu, Stray, and Tunic. What you going?
I'm actually gonna go with Tunic again. Although Cult of the Lamb, I think a lot of people have love for it, and Stray is definitely the chosen favorite. I'm gonna go with Tunic just because I think Tunic really does have the legs for it. Those adorable little stubby legs of hers. I want Tunic to win this. So please, everybody, vote for Tunic.
I really want to go Tunic too, but I'm gonna go Cult of the Lamb. I'm gonna go Cult of the Lamb. I gotta do it.
Really? I thought you were gonna
I'm
go with
deviating.
Stray.
I don't think Stray is winning best indie. I just don't. I look, as much as people did seem to really like Stray, and as much as if I played it, I think I would like Stray. I think Stray is potentially on here a bit too much.
Okay, yeah, me
We've said it a
too.
few times already, and I'm like, look, Stray seems great, but yeah. I think it's mainly because it's in another category that both of us were like, really? But we'll talk about that whenever we get to the end. But yeah, man, Cult of the Lamb, I think people are forgetting about it a bit because of how long ago that game released.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Like I said, Cult of the Lamb, I can see how many people love it. Poor Neon White. Neon White looks such a cool game.
Yeah, I feel like we're really just trashing Neon White here by not talking about it. But I have nothing to say. You got nothing to say. So it's like, well, all right. Well,
yeah, let's talk about Tunic. Yeah, it didn't get much fanfare as much as Tunic, Stray, Sifu, and Cult of the Lamb. It's like the black sheep. And I say that despite the point that the game is called Neon White and we have Cult of the Lamb over here. So it still works. But yeah, poor Neon White. It's stuck between these juggernaut of indie games.
Well, we're also idiots, Michael, so... Maybe there's a lot of Neon White fans out there who are very pissed off at us right now. We apologize.
Yes, all five of you.
Oh, you didn't have to go there. No, I'm Neon White wins now just because you did that.
Oh, yeah. That
was uncalled for.
Me too. Just to be like, oh, damn. Remember that time when I made fun of five Neon White fans?
Moving on to best ongoing game. I've awarded to a game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time. Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Genshin Impact. I'm going Apex Legends.
Really?
Yeah, I'm taking a stab in the dark. I'm going Apex Legends. I don't think Destiny 2 is winning this. I think people are starting to get a little upset here at Bungie over the past few months with Destiny 2. I don't think it's going to be a winner. I think it's either we're going to be Genshin Impact or Apex. I'm going Apex because I think you're going at Genshin Impact.
I actually am, yeah. I'm going with Genshin Impact. Again, it has great support for its community. Fortnite, I can see Fortnite winning it. I'm not going to lie. I can see Fortnite winning it. I see it Genshin Impact, Fortnite, then Apex Legends. I just don't see Apex Legends winning this for some reason. And I agree with you. Destiny 2, I think the fan base is kind of tired of what they're getting, and they're not getting enough. So I'm going to go with Genshin Impact. And Final Fantasy, you know, they're in their own little world. They don't care about this crap. They're like, oh, it was a fun game. But yeah, Genshin Impact is definitely walking away with at least best ongoing game.
Games for Impact, for a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message. A Memoir Blue, As Dusk Falls, Citizen Sleeper, Ending, Extinction is Forever, Hindsight, and I Was a Teenage Exo-Colonist. I'm going to go As Dusk Falls here.
Now, why is this the one category with six nominees?
They left such a big impact that they had to add a whole nother game.
Oh, cool.
Well, you know what, Michael? They left an impact on the Game Awards. How about that? Because they added another game to the whole category. Oh.
I guess we can go with it. But yeah, I'm going with Citizen Sleeper. I think it definitely captured a lot of minds. Endling, I wanted to play, but I love Foxes too much to play it. Because I was like, oh, it's going to be a depressing story. I don't want to see these baby foxes, like, suffer. I don't know. It was too sad for me before I even tried to play it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't play Mama Fox taking care of her babies. Because if I messed up and lost one pup, I was going to stop playing the game. And I already knew this. But I'm going with Citizen Sleeper because I think that game, as story heavy as it is chock full of lore and just so much cool characters, so many cool characters, that I think Citizen Sleeper is going to walk away with this award.
Moving on to Best Performance, awarded to an individual for voice over acting, motion, and or performance capture. Ashley Birch for Horizon Forbidden West, Charlotte McBurney for A Plague Tale Requiem, Christopher Judge for God of War Ragnarok, Manon Gage for Immortality, and Sunny Soljic for God of War Ragnarok. I think this one's going to be Christopher Judge. That's what I'm going to go with here. Ashley Birch is a freaking amazing, though. That's the only other name that I immediately recognize off this list.
I hope Christopher Judge wins. He should have won with God of War, the first one. The point that he didn't win it upset me. I was like, wow, that's really stupid. I think he should have won that.
I disagree, because I remember who he was up against. And he was up against the voice of Arthur fucking Morgan.
So, No. Christopher should have won last time. He should have won that award. I don't care what anybody says.
To be fair, that was very tough year.
It was.
You had the voice of Arthur Morgan, Roger Clark, I believe is his name. You had Yuri, forgot his last name, with Peter Parker / Spider-Man and Marvel Spider-Man. And you had Christopher Judge with Kratos. Like, that alone was a tough year. And I feel like you had somebody else who was doing a fantastic job that I cannot remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, it was a good year, don't get me wrong. But the way he changed Kratos from just being always angry to trying to be this timid dad, I thought was absolutely phenomenal. And I hope he wins it this time, just because he didn't win it last time when he deserved it. I hope he wins it.
As for our next category, we have Best Audio Design, recognizing the best in-game audio and sound design. Modern Warfare 2 is back on this list. Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Gran Turismo 7, and Horizon Forbidden West. This one is tough, because the multiplayer gamer in me is really looking at Modern Warfare 2, because its audio design is outstanding. And I have not played Forbidden West, Gran Turismo 7, or Ragnarok. And also, I'm looking at Elden Ring like, that's audio design too. And plus, I said that Elden Ring was going to win multiple awards. So I want to hear what you got to say first before I make my final selection.
I'm going with Gran Turismo 7. Just the amount of detail that they put into it. Oh, yes, seriously. This is no joke. I really do think it's going to be Gran Turismo 7. Just the amount of love and detail they put into this game. I think the audio is the big part of car games. With something like Call of Duty, you'd be like, oh, the audio could use some work. Elden Ring, God of War, sure, because of the creature sounds and the music. Same with Horizon Forbidden West. Those machines sound hella cool, and I really do hope that Forbidden West wins it, because I think they do deserve it. Out of everybody here, I think Horizon deserves it the most, because they had to create new interesting sounds for each machine that they have. But I will not deny Polyphony for their abilities to capture each and every car, from when you slow down, speed up, and accelerate, for when you're hitting turns, for when you're hitting the wall. Just from the sound of the engine to the screech of the tires, I don't think anybody realizes just how difficult it is for a racing game like Gran Turismo 7, because unlike the other games, you have to focus on realism for something like Gran Turismo to be super immersive. Call of Duty can get away with sounds. They didn't have to work on their audio, but they did, which is pretty cool. But Gran Turismo 7, I feel on a technical level, deserves more praise. And I really do want that to win the sound design. So I'm going to go ahead and say Gran Turismo 7.
Going to Elden Ring here. I think my thought process is I think Elden Ring is going to win a lot of awards. I think this is one of them they're going to end up winning. I think it's a good spot for them as well. Elden Ring's audio design is really good. I do think the impressiveness of Modern Warfare 2's audio design, just the sound of the bullets, the way they even whiz past you and shit like that, is really fucking good. And I think it's really underrated, cool, actually, in terms of like immersion. But I'm just going to go Elden Ring here. I think we're going to have a few other categories to where it's going to be pretty much either God of War or Elden Ring. So let's see where this goes. Speaking of which, best score and music.
Oh, my goodness.
For outstanding music inclusive of score, original song, and or licensed soundtrack. A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Metal Hellsinger, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Michael, what you going with, man?
Okay, this was actually a bit more difficult, because I do want to see Metal Hellsinger, because I know people absolutely love that game. But I think it's between Elden Ring and God of War Ragnarok, because those are where the music truly shines. And I'm going to go with God of War Ragnarok. I haven't heard any of the music from most of these games. I've heard a bit of Plague Tale. Xenoblade is kind of generic, if you ask me. Metal Hellsinger, bro, some of the music they got in there is pretty cool. It's very metal, so it's very fitting. But this is something that I think a lot of gamers are gonna look for to show that gaming is an art form and is something to truly pay attention to. So I think God of War Ragnarok is gonna walk away with the best soundtrack.
And I'm also go God of War Ragnarok. If it's anything like God of War 2018, God of War Ragnarok soundtrack is probably just fucking fire. You ready to move on?
Let's goodish.
Best art direction for outstanding creative and or technical achievement in artistic design and animation. Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Scorn, and Stray. Now the dark horse here is Scorn.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I'm gonna go Elden Ring.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I can see Elden Ring do it because no. Because Elden Ring has some cool looking creatures in world.
Yep, that's exactly my thought process. I don't know what Ragnarok's creature design looked like or anything of the sort.
They look cool. But, you know, they're not like Elden Ring cool. I'll admit that. Like, oh my goodness. So for once, yeah, I agree with you on Elden Ring. I think Elden Ring is going to win Best Artistic Design because, man, the creatures they design and the world that they built, absolutely beautiful. Just awesome looking for an open world game. And while I would love to say God of War Ragnarok, no, I think Horizon has a better chance than God of War. But I'm going with Elden Ring. I agree with you. I think Elden Ring is going to win this.
On to Best Narrative for Outstanding Storytelling and Narrative Development in a Game. A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, and Immortality. God of War Ragnarok for me. Just, again, all the praise this game got as soon as it came out. Everybody praising its story, saying, oh my god, that was fucking amazing. How did they pull this off? Don't think Elden Ring, like, don't get me wrong, Elden Ring, I think, has a very good chance to win Game of the Year. I think a lot of people thought it was an easy game of the generation already. People saying it's one of the best games ever made. So, with that in mind, I didn't hear a lot of people praising the story.
because, again, it's not about the story and the lore. Although, there are some people who are hardcore into From Software's lore, but let's face it, they're not the ones who are truly carrying Elden Ring. It's the bragging rights of it's a tough, challenging game, and I beat it. I did it with only getting hit once, or never being hit, or I did it with the Dance Dance Revolution gamepad. That's where Elden Ring strength comes from. It's definitely not the narrative. I'm going with the upset here. I'm going to go with Immortality. I don't know much about the game, but I know it was story heavy. Poor Horizon. I think Horizon deserve it, but I'm going to go with Immortality because I think a lot of people are just going to vote for it just as an upset or because it is that game that truly focuses on its narrative.
Moving on to Best Game Direction, awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Immortality, and Stray. So we're starting to see a lot of repeats here. Michael seems to be very upset at this poor cat. I'm going to go with God of War Ragnarok.
Ooh, as for me, I'm going to go with Elden Ring. I think people are really going to look at
this. Feels like it got swapped, didn't it?
It did, yeah. It felt like it should be the other way around. But I think a lot of people are really going to love, and I think everybody loved and enjoyed how they took years and years of Bloodborne and From Software's games. They took years of their experience working on all those games and smashed them into one open world, massive story-driven action-adventure game. I think a lot of people are going to praise From Software for that. And I think it's going to win Best Direction because I think out of everybody here, I really do think Elden Ring is the most ambitious with its direction.
As for Game of the Year, here's where I think we're about to have a conversation about just who got nominated here. So, recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields. A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, and Michael's favorite game, Stray. Okay, let's get this out of the way, because we're about to make our pick for the best game of the year. And I feel like we gotta just talk about this. Is the elephant in the room? Really, it's a feline in the room. Let's talk about Stray. I don't know if Stray should have been in here, the best game of the year. That really made me do a double take when I saw it. At the same time, here's my question to you. Do you think that this is indicative of a slower year for gaming? Or do you think this is indicative of a game getting snubbed? And if so, what game do you think got snubbed from this?
I mean, if you're going to throw an indie game in there, there's Tunic, there's Cult of the Lamb, Sifu. Like, there's been a ton of indie games that came out that I think deserve this spot over Stray.
And do keep in mind, when we're talking about this, we're not bashing Stray saying it's a bad game.
Oh, no.
These are, like, we're talking top of top here and going, like, Stray's great.
Yeah, like, if you're going to put an indie game in there, if you're going to force in a sixth pick because you don't want it to be just AAA games, there's, like, 1, 2, 3, 4 AAA games, 1 AA game, because I think Plague Tale counts as a AA game. And then 1 indie game. It just felt like you threw Stray in there because you needed an indie game to be in there. But you already had Tunic. You already had Vampire Survivors even. I'm sorry, but I understand Vampire Survivors being a bigger indie game than Stray. You had Sifu. Sifu was absolutely amazing for a lot of people. Stray. Look, there's nothing wrong with Stray. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'm not saying it doesn't deserve to be in the categories. Like, I have not said Stray shouldn't have been in anything except for a couple of times because I just found it confusing with whatever requirement Stray met. Again, I've never played Stray. All right, I will openly admit that I haven't played Stray. I think it looks cool. I think it's interesting. I haven't played it yet. But for a game of the year, you definitely snubbed other indie games. If you're gonna do indie game, if you want to throw an indie game in there, you definitely snubbed some more ambitious and more enjoyable. Oh, I can't say more enjoyable because I haven't played Stray, but you definitely left some really interesting indie games on the floor, not even on the table, on the floor. And so I don't really get it. I can understand Plague's Tale. I understand Elden Ring, God of War. I'm also iffy about God of War being up there, seeing how it just came out. Just in time for the Game Awards.
Look, man, I kind of hate the deadline stuff. I absolutely hate it. The game came out the day before the Game Awards. I feel like somehow, some way, the copy of the game should get to the people voting.
Well, I mean, I understand it because God of War came out in time to where people could play the game and know if they liked it or not. But yeah, I don't know. God of War just cut it pretty close to me.
Because keep in mind, I believe it was Jedi Fallen Order got screwed out of a Game of the Year award. Or I'm not saying that they would have absolutely won it that year, but they got screwed out of all those awards and they had to go for the next year, which it didn't really work out in their favor.
Because they was forgotten about the game by then.
And I feel like it was only like a week or two they missed out on the deadline by. So, I don't know, man. When, I think when you're doing a Game of the Year thing, it's like one of the few nitpicks I have about the Game Awards in total. If you're doing this thing to celebrate all the games over the past year, I think you also have to look at, okay, even a game that released 2 weeks before we're doing our show, we got to include that too. I think you got to find a way, some way, somehow. Talk to the developer, talk to the publisher, see if you can get some copies into your voters' hands so they can play it too.
Well, the thing is, the people who nominate these things in the first place, they're not even the gamers. They're people that's already within the industry.
Yeah, you can see it. By the way, you can go to the Game Awards site and see how it's voted on.
Yeah, but for my pick, I think it's between God of War and Elden Ring. So I'm actually going to go with God of War Ragnarok.
And I'm gonna go Elden Ring. I just think with also all the buzz that Elden Ring has gotten at the Game Awards over the past few years, I feel like it's all just gonna culminate here.
I mean, Stray already won the Golden Joystick Award for PlayStation Game of the Year, so hey, who knows? Maybe they'll pull a upset that it'll make us question the Game Awards forever and ever.
Well, some people already do that. So that's the point. It's just, hopefully it's a fun show. Hopefully we get some predictions right. No matter what, it's just going to be really good to see. And granted, the Game Awards are not just about these awards. It's actually a secondary thing at this point. It's mostly about the games that get announced, which I don't really have any huge predictions for. We can get into that here in a minute, Michael, but it's cool to me whenever I'm watching that show to be like, oh, okay, so they won Best Narrative. Awesome. I was like really rooting for like Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy last year to win multiple awards just because of how much I love that game. And I wanted Eidos Montreal, to get all the love that I believe that deserved after getting absolutely destroyed online when the game got announced. So it's one of those things. I'm really looking forward to seeing how these awards turn out every year. But let's go ahead and kind of get out of here, Michael. You got any quick predictions for what gets announced at the Game Awards 2022?
We're definitely going to see more footage for Callisto Protocol. I think we're going to see more stuff for Dead Space. And this would be Microsoft's time to prove that they got a game coming out next year. So I think we might see a surprise announcement from Microsoft, from the Xbox Game Studios.
You think we see Starfield?
I want to say yes, but at the same time, I don't think they're going to show much. I don't think there's really anything for them to show.
Yeah, I think we're going to see Starfield. I think we're going to see probably some crazy announcement. What, I don't know. But it seems that every year at the Game Awards or something that just nobody predicted just gets announced. Like last year with the Wonder Woman game. And everybody was like, well, that was not on the bingo card at all. All right, cool. And I think that's what we're probably in store for this year from somebody. Can't wait to see what developer that would be. But I could see PlayStation showing something cool off. I could see Nintendo. I don't really see Nintendo pulling anything. They tend to just do things on their own.
Yeah.
Time, which is fine, but at the same time.
Although, what if Nintendo chose this to tease the next console?
Nah, I don't see that happening.
No, that's definitely not going to happen.
Okay, here's tinfoil hat theory. Do you think this is the time that Rockstar unveils GTA 6?
Ooh.
I think it's more possible. Okay, this means absolutely nothing. My next statement is going to mean absolutely nothing, but I think it's more possible at the Game Awards 2022 than it has been in the past 2.5 years of people going, GTA 6 is going to get announced at the next insert event here.
I still say we're going to see something for GoldenEye because, you know, that was a big deal of it coming to Xbox. Despite the point that it won't have Xbox Live support for something. I think we'll probably see something about GoldenEye.
But let's go ahead and get the hell out of here, Michael. What are you playing?
I'm still playing Overwatch 2, and I'm also playing Marauders. You can find me on Twitch playing Marauders. Decent game. Not bad. I'm still so terrible at it. It's a looter shooter. And it's in space. You're a space looter shooter trying to survive. So you go to different mining facilities and abandoned space stations. And it's you versus unknown number of players versus unknown number of AI NPCs that's running around ready to gun you. And if you like that roguelike, but if you like the whole survival deal to where if you die, you get punished by losing all of your gear, then by all means, Marauders is going to be for you. But if you're not, I'm telling you right now, it's a stressful game. It's not a chill game. It's very hardcore. You're going to have people who are teaming up and peeking over walls and just having all kinds of crazy cool weapons like flamethrowers. But I'm also playing Marauders. So if you find me on Twitch, I'll be streaming that. What about you, Taylor? What are you playing?
I'm really not playing too much. I've been kind of busy over the past week trying to rewatch and watch for the first time a few things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because we have an episode of Nerds Talk Movies coming up where we're going to be ranking every single MCU movie and series. Well, not every single. We're leaving off stuff like I Am Groot and stuff like that. But we're pretty much going to be ranking almost all MCU movies and TV shows from worst to best. And it is a fucking bunch of movies and TV shows. It's like 40 we're going to be ranking. It's going to be a three-part series to end the year. So I had to watch Eternals. I had to watch the end of Miss Marvel. I still got to watch Werewolf by Night. So I got pretty much a few other things to watch, rewatch, kind of get a feel for how I would rank them. This should be a lot of fun, though. It's going to be interesting to see how our lists shake up here. It's going to be one definitive list. Mark, you want to take us home here? Close out the show?
Sure thing. I'll go ahead and close this out. All right. So if you want to know more about what we're up to, our predictions, if you want to share your predictions, we would love to hear it. You can find us on our Discord. Please stop on by, join, let us know how you're doing, your predictions, and why you believe Stray should be Game of the Year. I will fight you for that, but I will also respectfully disagree with you. If you want more from the Nerds Dash Network, you may also like our movie and TV podcast called Nerds Talk Movies. On that podcast, our crew of experts take a deeper look at beloved movies and TV shows via retrospectives and spoiler talks. In fact, our very own Taylor is a part of that show. So, Taylor, what is going on over at that podcast?
On the latest episode of Nerds Talk Movies, Drew and Tristan had a retrospective on Superman Batman Apocalypse, which was a pretty damn good DC animated movie. I was not on that episode, though. I had to take a break from that podcast to focus on this show here. And another thing we got brewing here, which is, well, at this point, it's already revealed, Clash of Stash, which is coming back in January. As for our upcoming episode, it's an episode that really is more for, it's more selfish. It's more for Tristan, Drew, and myself, because it's something that Tristan had been teasing for the past year and a half since he joined the podcast team, and that is his very secretive top 52 favorite movies of all time list. So the upcoming episode of Nerds Talk Movies is Tristan revealing his mysterious top 52 favorite movies of all time list. And there were some fucking surprises on there I did not see coming.
Ooh, can't wait to check that out. And finally, check out thenerdsdash.com for all sorts of news in the world of gaming, movies, television, and so much more. We also have guides, reviews, opinion pieces, and various other types of content over there as well. Just like Discord, the link to thenerdsdash.com is in the description on this very episode. All right, so let's go ahead and get out of here. Taylor, thank you for joining me. And of course, everybody who listened in, we do appreciate you joining in and listening to us squall about like a bunch of idiots. Whether this is your first time or your 600th time, we truly appreciate it. Show it to your friends. Force them to sit down and listen to us. They will be enlightened. I don't promise that, but there's a good chance they will be. And again, our episode next week is going to be a little delayed because of our recording schedule conflicting with the Game Awards. But we'll have it out as soon as we can. We'll see you next time.